Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Those whom He predestined, He also called. These whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes, and make you good soil for this beautiful, wonderful passage of Scripture? Pray right now that God's word would be planted deep into your heart, that you would bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Will you pray now for the other people in this room? Pray that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes, so that the truth and the words of this beautiful, beautiful passage would go down deep into their hearts. Pray for the other people in this room right now. Now would you please pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully. Heavenly Father, your word is so wonderful and I am so amazed by this incredible passage. I just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit I could make this passage clear to the people. And you would use your word to build up your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You should have notes in your bulletin. We're going to review at first. We've already covered 28 and 29 and most of 30. So let's start out by reviewing verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So number one in your notes is there, review, God is causing all things to work together for good for believers. If you're grateful for that this morning, say amen. Hallelujah. Verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. That verse is packed with beautiful things. Let's keep reviewing. We've covered these already. Number two in your notes, even before He created the world, God knew
that He was going to save you. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Number three in your notes, God has a glorious plan for the believer. God has a glorious plan for the believer. And what is that plan? This is all review, why we're going so quickly. A, God predestined us to be His children. God predestined us to be His children. B, as His children, we have been predestined to be His heirs.
As his children, we have been predestined to be his heirs. And then finally, C, God predestined us to become like Christ. What an incredible plan. Verse 30. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. We've already covered and studied called and justified. So let's review them. Next in your notes, God has summoned us into a relationship with him. That's called. God has summoned us into a relationship with him. Those he called, he also justified. Five in your notes. Number five, God has declared us righteous as a free gift of grace. God has declared us righteous as a free gift of grace. So God foreknows us, he predestines us, he calls us, he justifies us, and he's not through yet. He's not through yet. Paul has packed an incredible amount of grace into these three verses. And that's what's so great about Paul. And that's why I want to plug Brother Jerry's Sunday school class one more time as he teaches people to carefully and prayerfully, simply read slowly and carefully God's Word, pulling out every diamond in each and every verse. If you're not busy on Sunday mornings before church, come in here at 9 o'clock, or Jerry's at 9:15, 9 o'clock. 9:15. Come in here at 9:15 and learn more of God's Word and how to study God's Word from Brother Jerry. This is an excellent, excellent example. You could read verses 28, 29, and 30 over and over and over and over and over again. And that's actually true for all of Romans 8. God's grace is amazing. And he's not through. We've looked at foreknow, predestined, called, and justified. And there's one more. Those he justified, he also glorified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Glorified is the Greek word doxazo. Doxazo, and it means to honor or to praise. Should be in your notes on the back. It's the Greek word doxazo. It means to honor or to praise. The word glorified is used many times in the Bible, but usually it's talking about God being honored, God being praised, God being glorified. Matthew 5:16 is an example. They will see our good works and glorify God. Paul says that all men are sinners. In Romans chapter 1, he says, even though they knew God, they did not honor him. Doxazo. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, we have been bought with the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we must glorify, doxazo, we must glorify God with our bodies. Most of the time, this word is talking about glorifying or praising or honoring God. So we come here and it says that God is glorifying us. Those he justified, he also glorified. God foreknew us, predestined us, called us, justified us, and glorified us. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what could Paul possibly mean when he says that God glorified us? This is an awesome, awesome thing. God glorifying us. This is a wonderful gift of God, and it is our ultimate hope. Our future glory is why we are willing to suffer for Jesus down here on earth. As Christians, we have a glorious future. Remember what Paul said earlier in this chapter? You're in Romans chapter 8, so look with me at Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we've been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Paul says, we have a future glory, and that glory is our eternal inheritance. God foreknew us. He predestined us. He called us. He justifies us. And when our Lord Jesus returns, we have the next one in your notes. When our Lord Jesus returns, God will set us completely free from sin and clothe us with a new eternal body. This is what it means that God will glorify us. We will have a new body totally free of the corruption of sin and death. And in this new body, we will enjoy eternity with God. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, brothers and sisters of Trinity. But though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Christians will experience eternal glory far beyond all comparison. This is so encouraging. God has a plan for me. What he started, he will complete. God has a plan for David Gordon, and that plan means I am going to go all the way in grace. God will finish what he started. He will save me. God knew he was going to save me before creation. He has determined that I should be his child. He has determined that I should be his heir. God has determined to make Dave Gordon like Jesus Christ. Even though I am so sinful, God in his grace has declared me righteous in his sight. And God will complete his wonderful work of grace in my life. I can be confident. Every single day of my life, brothers and sisters, I can be confident. Knowing
knowing that the salvation God started in my life, He will complete. I had the most wonderful privilege Sunday evening of being present as a dear friend of mine responded to the summons and trusted Christ as Savior Sunday night. As I think about that person, I realize that God planned to save them before time began. God predetermined a wonderful plan for this young man, that He would make him His child, that He would adopt him, that He would make him His heir, and that He would conform him to the image of Jesus Christ. God summoned this young man, and Sunday night he responded to the summons in faith. And when he reached out and believed, God in His grace declared him righteous in His sight, forgiving him of all of his sins. And I know, based on this passage, that no matter what my dear friend goes through, God will complete his salvation. Amen. And when Jesus Christ returns, my friend will have a brand new body and will praise Jesus Christ for all eternity. What God starts, He finishes.
Hallelujah.
And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, the same is true of you. God foreknew you. He predestined you. He called you. He justified you. And He will glorify you when His glorious Son returns to this earth. If you have not accepted God's free gift of salvation, I just have one question for you. Why not? Why not? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. One of the contemporary Christian singers nowadays is Jeremy Camp. Listen to what he has to say about this.
Scripture in Revelation 21:4, when it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Wow, what a comforting scripture. And I know for me, I've been through things in my life that have caused pain, that have been difficult, and times that I felt like I wanted to give up and there was no hope. But there's a promise that God gives us of that hope of eternity. There'll be no more suffering and no more pain. And I know that we've all gone through trials. We've all gone through tribulations in our life. And I want to encourage you guys. I love the scripture in Romans 8:18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." And in verse 25 it says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." So I love that, the earnest expectation. And it says eagerly waits in both verse 19 and verse 25. And we can eagerly wait for what God has prepared for us. We can look forward to that hope. So listen, don't lose heart. For this is not our home. It's only temporary. But God has prepared for us something that we cannot even imagine. Something far greater, and far greater than any suffering that we may endure on this earth. So hold on to that hope. and eagerly await for that one day where there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more pain. But while we're here on this earth, let's share that hope that we have in Christ. No more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. There will be a day when no more tears, no more pain, no more fear.
Trinity Baptist, behold the amazing grace of God. Look at all these blessings that are stuffed into these two beautiful verses. This is an unbroken chain of grace. God foreknows us, predestined us, calls us, justifies us, and glorifies us. It is so encouraging to know that God's plan for me is to save me. It reminds me of what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6. Please keep your finger in Romans and turn with me to John chapter 6. I want you to look at this and realize that what Paul is saying to us in Romans 8 is that our security in Christ depends on God. And Jesus is telling us the same thing. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And look at verse 39. People ask the question, what is God's will? Look at verse 39. "This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he's given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Praise God. Turn back with me to Romans 8. After Paul explains this beautiful, unbroken chain of God's grace in the life of the believer, he is speechless. And look at verse 31. Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" If God is for us, who is against us? And Trinity, that's exactly what I put in your notes. Number 7, if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's talk about the Greek word for. in the phrase, if God is for us. Let's talk about the Greek word for. The most common Greek word for is the word gar. It's used probably 1,000 times, no exaggeration, 1,000 times in the New Testament. This word for, behind me on the screen, is not the usual word. This word is the word huper, and it means on our behalf or on our side. What Paul is saying is this: if God is on our side, who can be against us? Turn back a couple pages. You're in Romans 8. Turn just a couple pages back to Romans 5. And I want to show you how Paul uses the Greek word huper, on our side, in chapter 5. Chapter 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for huper, the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Trinity, if God has decided to save you, who's going to condemn you? No one. No one. You're in verse 31. Look at verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. We'll look at that verse more closely in a couple Sundays. But the point is, if God has planned to save you, who's going to condemn you? No one can. There are many things that try to come against us as Christians. Temptation comes against us all the time. We are all tempted to sin, which, by the way, is why we need each other. Amen? We are all tempted to sin. But look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. We are tempted, but in Christ we have the victory. If God is for us, who can be against us? Take a look at God's grace in Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Christ, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. If God is for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 14. In Romans 6, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Look at 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Trinity Baptist, in our struggle with sin and temptation, what should we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who is against you? Someone at school? Someone at work? Someone in your family? Someone you're trying to deal with in the world? Who is against you? Trinity, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? The persecuted church on the other side of the world has many, many, many people against them. But what did Jesus teach us to say? What did Jesus say to us? Look at Luke chapter 12, 4 and 5, behind me on the screen. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more they can do. I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. The persecuted church, even the persecuted church, can look at their human enemies and say, do whatever you can to me. God has set in motion an unbroken chain of grace poured out for me. He has known me from the beginning. He's predestined me, called me, justified me, and glorified me. The persecuted church, even them, can say, if God is for us, who can be against us? Ultimately, our greatest adversary is the devil. Look at 1 Peter 5 behind me on the screen. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible has an interesting word for Satan. It calls him the accuser. The accuser of the brethren. But God has set in motion an unbreakable, unbroken chain of grace for you. When Satan accuses you, you simply say, God has foreknown me from the beginning of time. He has a plan for my life. He summoned me into a relationship with him. He has declared me righteous in his sight, and he will raise me up on that day because that's his will. If God is for us, no one can be against us. And I want to ask you the question I asked you a few moments ago. If you haven't invited Christ into your life, why haven't you? Why not? Why not? You need Jesus. And this unbroken, unbreakable chain of God's amazing grace is available to you. Please come and talk to me or Saku or Jerry after church, and let us help you respond to God's summons. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for your unbreakable chain of grace in our life. And I pray that these, my dear friends, would find their security in you, knowing that if God is on our side, who can be against us? Heavenly Father, as we respond to your beautiful word in song now, please take these songs as our gratitude, as our love song, as our worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen.